man.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello again, everybody. Kurt Gowdy here with sports. No, this is Paul Segreto and the Franchise Essential Show, and my co-host standing by in Cleveland, Ohio, the one, the only, the infamous, the great franchise king himself, Joel LaBava. How are you, Joel?
Fantabulous. How are you doing there, Paul, in rainy Houston?
I almost felt like I was introducing Karnak the Magnificent.
Well, I don't know about magnificent, but you know what? I just keep showing up.
Right, you just keep showing up. You're just there, right?
I think
that's occurring with the swine flu, too, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, according to several people, it seems like my life is revolving around Twitter, and I'm always either there or I'm always either there. So what can I tell you?
Hey, you remember the old Imperial Margarine commercials? And the crown. That's what I think of when I introduce you as the franchise king. And the crown pops up on your head.
Fantastic.
Anyway, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. There seems to be a lot of stuff going on in the franchise world. I know this week I finished up the second part of the Frantelligence webinar series with Franchise Business Review. Next week on Tuesday, we'll be continuing that. This week we talked about developing the social media strategy, and next week we'll be talking about executing the strategy. And Ginny Dietrich of Armin Dietrich, who we all know and love, is actually doing her second segment of the Frantelligence webinar series. Actually, it just finished a couple of minutes ago, and hers is from marketing to bring traffic to the franchise locations. And today she also discussed developing a social media strategy. So there's a lot going on in the franchise world. And I know you've been real busy with American Express Open and with small business trends. Would you care to elaborate some, oh, Royal Highness?
Oh, sure. I've had a couple articles that I wrote come out this week over at smallbusinesstrends.com, which is actually smallbiztrends.com, Anita Campbell's award-winning site. I wrote a piece about home-based businesses and home-based franchises, and I was really trying to differentiate for my readers and Anita's readers the difference between a home-based envelope stuffing empire and a home-based franchise, because a lot of people kind of get them confused. And so I discussed things like network marketing, and then I discussed legitimate franchises and some stuff in between. Then over at Open Forum by American Express, boy, this topic is just, I guess my timing was good because I was part of a webinar yesterday. I was actually listening and tweeting about it, and it was about mobile marketing. So the article I wrote over at Open that came out 2 days ago talks about running a franchise operation from the comfort of your own mobile phone.
Well, that's
pretty
interesting.
Cool.
Hey, let me ask
yeah.
you a question before we move forward. Are you using a different type of communication device today than you normally do?
No. Why? Does it sound better?
It's a little bit echoey today.
Really? No, it's my my BlackBerry.
Huh. Interesting. Well, hopefully it gets better, or maybe it's just on my phone. If anybody else out there is feeling that and hearing that, just drop me a line at segreto.paul@gmail.com, and we'll try to adjust. Other than that, we'll just assume that it's my phone not hearing Joel quite the way he's portraying himself. Hey,
that's
Joel.
Right. Hey, wait a second, but don't email me anybody, because if I respond back, I'm going to get yelled at because I type so loud.
Well, it always sounds like you're sending out Morse code to the or something. Hey, I understand Winston went to the vet today, and I saw that you picked as one of your topics today to talk about from the world of All Top about a dog franchise. What's that all about?
Yeah, we every time we do this radio thing, we do a little homework, and I jump over to alltop.com, Guy Kawasaki's site, and there's a franchising section that I helped put together. And I always choose a couple blog articles to discuss. And one of them comes from Franchise Talk from a friend of mine in Brazil. And it's talking about something called the Zoom Room. And it's billed as the nation's first dog agility franchise opportunity. I think that I'm following the president of the new franchise over on Twitter. I think we've talked a couple times via text. And it's a pretty cool concept, being transparent and always above board and telling people how I feel. I think it might be too narrow of a niche because there are people that do dog shows and travel around the country doing dog shows and grooming and all the stuff that goes with it. Agility is part of the dog world, but it is a pretty small niche, even though the folks involved in it are quite passionate. What, do you agree, Paul, or do you think there's something there?
I think it might be a small niche, but I'll say this tongue in cheek: they could always broaden it by making pet agility franchise opportunity and have people run their turtle through an obstacle course. I don't know. I think that's really personal opinion, editorial. I think it's too small a niche. I have a hard time believing that I could see first dog agility franchise opportunities on every corner like sandwich shops.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I'm a dog lover, so I think it's pretty cool. But I think it might be a little narrow. I have a feeling that the president will probably, the president of this franchise, not President Obama, but the president of this franchise will probably branch out a little bit and offer some other services, maybe some boarding. It's a brick-and-mortar dog training franchise, though. I think that, we'll have to wait and see. You know, you and I, well, I can't talk for you, I can't speak for you, but I've been wrong before when it comes to franchises that I think are going to make it or not make it. But this one seems a little small of a niche, as we said. And you know what? You mentioned that thing about maybe having, you know, a pet agility. I was just thinking as you were talking about maybe bringing your pet box turtle over to the local franchise, you know, I wouldn't mind operating like the speed gun and having like a turtle race.
You know, actually, I mean, it wouldn't be a bad co-brand to maybe a boarding or a pet care franchise or within a larger company, you know, such as Art or something like that. I don't know. Time will tell, as it always does. What else you got going on in the franchise blog world?
Over at Sanderson PR, they have their blog called the Daily Franchise News. And this one was right up Paul Segretto's alley. Segretto, of course, ends in a vowel. Well, actually, Labava does too. But Paul's actually Italian. And the name, the title of the article is An Offer He Couldn't Refuse. And it's about Hungry Howie's Pizza and a gentleman who got out of the franchise business after he sold a bunch of other Domino's franchises. He had like 40 stores. He burned out, chilled out, and all of a sudden Hungry Howie's Pizza guaranteed him, quote, Baton Rouge. So the quote is, Ray, get your first couple of stores open. And we won't aggressively pursue selling a lot of franchises. Let's see how it goes. So, you know, this guy plans to open 7 to 10 delivery-only locations. And that's pretty good. Definitely one of those, an offer you can't refuse.
There you go. Let's make him an offer he can't refuse. Forget about it.
You're a multi-unit owner.
I remember those days.
What was the franchisor like when you I mean, did you guys sign up as multi-unit owners right away, or did it progress?
No, it kind of progressed as opportunities, i.e. other stores were faltering. So as those opportunities presented themselves, I was able to capitalize on it. And some of the timing wasn't right because I remember at one point, I picked up two new locations within 30 days of each other. And that wasn't as bad as simultaneously taking on the phone number of a third location during that same time period that had a horrendous reputation. But even through all that, I had four up and running and that had been there for a while, and it wasn't that bad. What really hurt was when I opened the brand new location right in the middle of it. It absolutely brought all momentum to a halt and took up so much time that it really hurt, and that played a big part of some failure. So, you know, you got to balance it out. You got to do it as a plan. I got a little bit overzealous. That's usually what happens. And it's like we talked about earlier this week in developing a social media plan. Look out, you know, over the course of a year. Look out over the course of 2 years. Plan your moves accordingly. And I think the same thing needs to be done in expansion. And sometimes we just got to check our egos at the door, Joel, and let those opportunities fall by the wayside and be smart about choosing the ones that we think we can make the most of.
Yep, I guess we just have to kind of take it slow. You know, during the expansion, the adrenaline is really coursing through one's veins. And, all right, man, we're making money on these two. Let's get another one, and let's get another one before you know it. The market crashes, something happens, and it's like, oh, man, I have to pay $4,000 a month, $5,000 a month in these places. I have four of them now, and one of them's making money, and the other three are, like, crashing. So,
well, and that's the thing, and also there's not, to this day, a lot of training that is dedicated specifically to multi-unit ownership. And I think all too often we don't realize that, you know, the franchisee, the almighty, the all powerful, he knows it all. He runs that first location to perfection. And a lot of that first location is based on his drive and his passion and his vision within a proven concept, i.e. the franchise. But when he gets to that separate second location, now he's bouncing back and forth between a couple of different things. He's got a mature business on one end. He's got a startup on another. It's totally different ways of thinking. He's out of that first location. He's trying to get the second location up and running. Before he knows it, he turns around. The first location is falling down, and there's only so many fingers to put in the holes of the wall to stop water from coming through. So with that in mind, I mean, you really need to look at it carefully. You need to have a totally different strategy going into second location. The third location is easier than the second location because you've already gone through the trials and tribulations of having to be in a couple of different places at one time.
Thank you. Thank you. I think you are absolutely right. And let me ask you this. Would you, if you had the opportunity, if it was the right thing, and the money was available with your money and financing stuff, would you take on a multi-unit franchise opportunity again?
I would be more apt to do one from a start because that would be my business plan going in. I would set up a business plan totally different than I would building one at a time. You know, it's no different than having, you know, multiple wives. I mean, think about the juggling you would need to do from one wife to the other.
What makes you bring that up? That's really bizarre.
I don't know. I was thinking of multiples.
Okay. Well, this should be an excellent segue into money. You know, how do you come up with money?
Wait. Before we go there, you didn't know we are broadcasting live into the great state of Utah, so I figured I'd bring up multiple marriages.
Okay.
All right, you wanted to talk about money. Let's talk about money.
No, you know what? What's more important, money or wives? Money or wives?
Well, you know, I have found, at least with wives, they seem to be better at holding on to the money and stretching it. But yet, I don't know. Good question, and I'm not sure if my wife's going to be listening to this, so I'm going to have to say wives.
I was just going to allow you to keep digging that hole, man.
There you go. I've got my foot up on the desk ready to shove it down my throat. So why don't you take it from here and tell us what's on your mind about money before we wind up getting censored off the air.
Well, actually, you're talking about multiple wives. Now you have this vision of Gaddafi standing in front of the UN with his robe on and probably has a harem of like 30 gals in his tent over at Trump's property waiting for him. Anyway, that's a visual that we really didn't need right now. Did you see that guy yesterday?
I'll tell you one thing, and I know we're not supposed to talk politics. We agree
to
that.
This isn't politics. It's the UN. It's not politics, right?
Let me tell you something. That man has gotten clear looking by the year. And I watched him speak yesterday, and it looked like his lips weren't even moving. And when I saw that he said, or when I heard that he said, Noriega should be freed, and the world needs to pay attention to the economic zone around Somalia, I cringed, changed the channel, and just watched a couple of episodes of Bewitched with Elizabeth Montgomery.
Well, that's pretty good. I was it was actually during my lunch break. I jumped downstairs and had a sandwich, and I was watching it. I lasted about 17 minutes. And after the first 2 minutes, I was just shaking my head saying, what is this guy talking about? And he's got these handwritten pieces of paper, and oh, my God. It was like, dude.
I'll tell you. I understand they're thinking about having him at, never mind, I won't talk about the IFA. Let's move forward on money before I keep putting my foot in my mouth.
Actually, you know what? He's Gaddafi's a franchisor of 1-800-GOT-10.
Well, you know, for the longest time, it was Colonel Gaddafi. I mean,
think
about it. The most powerful man in the country only made himself a colonel.
Yeah, well, now he's a king.
Now he's a president.
I thought he was a king.
Well, it said president on the UN thing, but anyway, it really doesn't matter. Who else is called otherwise?
Yeah, this king thing going on. Anyway. Let's get to talking about money and how are franchisees, prospective franchisees, coming up with money. Well, in case you didn't know, your local banker might be a tad, shall we say, paranoid about loaning money, commercial loans, SBA, non-SBA. So not surprisingly, talk of the 401k rollover stuff is permeating the airwaves and the blogosphere, and I helped permeate it with an article I wrote on the 21st, which I believe, Monday, over on the Franchise King blog entitled Franchise Business Financing, Borrow Money from Yourself. I'm not talking about this article because I want a bunch of traffic at my blog. I'm talking about this because I got some pretty interesting comments after I wrote this. I've written about 401k rollover kind of stuff before. That's when, in case you don't know, that is when a company like Benetrends or SD Cooper helps you set up a corporation to finance your startup, and it's also your corporation during your startup. So there's various tax laws, and Leonard Fisher over Benetrends insists that he's doing it by the letter of the law. I'm sure that S.D. Cooper is also. Guidant Financial, who I worked with for a while, actually jumped out for about a month of the game, then jumped back in. But anyway, if you really, really have that burning desire to move away from corporate America and move towards business ownership, franchise or non-franchise, and you can't get money in the normal traditional ways, you know what? If you have $300,000 or $400,000 sitting in your IRA or your 401k, you're 50 years old, you have some other assets, why not take $50,000, $60,000 of it and use part of it? You know, if I was in that situation, I might do it. It just depends. But sometimes what happens is you go to your CPA and you say, well, I'm thinking about taking some money out of retirement and using it for a franchise startup. What do you think, Howie? And what happens 9 times out of 10, No, I definitely don't recommend that. Okay, why not? Well, do you know anyone that's ever done that? Well, no, So it's about getting the facts once again. I have an idea. Find out from someone who actually did it. There's actually a guy who commented. An acquaintance of mine commented on a video that I did right on top of this one about the same thing. And TJ said that he did the exact same thing for his startup. And if he didn't do it, he wouldn't be an entrepreneur, small business owner right now. So the question is, Paul Segretto, you and your wives, would you guys do it?
I would do it. I believe if you don't believe in yourself and you wouldn't use your own money on it, why should somebody else lend you money?
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I've had a couple people that are still in business. In the past 5 years, I've had two people that have used one of these plans, and they said it was smooth sailing. It wasn't hard to set up. It was a few thousand bucks. They have an established corporation now, and they're glad they did it. But
I think it comes down to also having your own skin in the game. I think
yeah.
for too long a time, these 100% or 95% financing deals are caused a lot of problems. I mean, certainly that was the case in the housing market as well. And I think you just got to have some skin in the game in order to make it work.
Yeah, I do too. I don't know. It's controversial. And if you go to some websites and some blogs, which are turning more and more anti-franchise in the last year and a half or so, and you know which ones I'm talking about,
right.
they just slam it, you know?
Well, maybe the government needs to put together a program similar that they did with the newer bankruptcy laws and make people go through a series of classes of awareness before they're able to tap into it. Maybe it needs to, you know, just educate them a little bit to understand what the tax ramifications are and make it be more from a, governmental standpoint. If, because I understand the government is coming up with a new agency for consumer financial awareness that is
mm-hmm.
going to be overseeing stuff like mortgage guidelines and stuff like that, and maybe this is something they need to take a look at as well.
Yeah, you know, it's not a bad idea, but, retirement funds are supposed to be for retirement only. But you know what? If you're 52 years old, you're out of work, you've been out of work for 6 months, your severance is gone, if you start eating into your money, and you're going to pay taxes on it anyway, if you eat into your 401k or your IRA, why not take a shot? But that's me. You know, you and I are risk takers. I mean, I'm a conservative risk taker. I don't know about you, but I mean, I'll take a shot. I won't. But the nice thing is about these plans, you can't use all of it. It does have a limit. So I think every situation is different. And the CPAs and attorneys out there that are listening, who, if they are listening, who automatically say to someone that says they're thinking about doing it, no, you shouldn't do that. Retire. You know what? Why don't you get some facts yourself and find out for some people that have done it? You know, it just really, really aggravates me that people come up with these opinions based on something they read, but they've never actually done it, and they've never actually known someone who's done it. It's very aggravating.
You know what? Let's look at it this way, Joel. You know, you got $100,000 in the IRA, in the 401k. You know that's not going to take you very long, and you know you don't have an income coming in right now. But you don't want to touch the 401k. What do? Take it out, put it on a number on the roulette wheel, see if you can double it, and then put the money back into the IRA and use your capital gain. If you lose it, you're going to lose it anyway. I mean, you know I'm joking. But, take a long, hard look at it. I like the new concept, or actually it's an old concept, of franchise financing, which is BBS. Do you know what that stands for?
DBS.
BBS.
What? What is
it? And it's not ball busting Segretto.
What is it?
It's beg, borrow, and steal. Get your family involved. Get a lot of people involved. You know, you don't have to get your financing from one source. You know, I know somebody that's developed a couple of good franchise or franchise locations, and he's got like 10 or 15 partners in each, and they're a family member that, you know, $2,000, $5,000, $6,000, small, they, you know, spread the risk around. If they lose out on it, if it doesn't work out, they're not losing a lot. But, you know, knock on wood, fortunately they've done well, and they've parlayed it, and they've gotten returns back on their investment, and they've done it again and again and again. Now, you know, that's no different than what the Korean community and the Indian community do. They pull their resources together, get one thing up and running. It's successful. Take some of the profits out of that. Do it again and again and again and again and again.
Yeah, well, I think that's what Gaddafi does.
Until Reagan dropped a bomb in the next tenth, right?
Oh, man.
So what else do you have to speak about today? I see that's it on your agenda, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm sure you have a hidden, I mean, an agenda somewhere, too.
I've got an agenda. I've always got an agenda. You know, this week we were talking about a strategy and a plan of action. You know, I need to emphasize to franchise professionals, when you're developing a social media strategy, there is no strategy. There is no strategy that is alike. No two strategies are alike. You need to customize your own and make it specific and in accordance with the goals and objective that you've established for your social media marketing program and what you want to achieve before sticking even that little toe into the social media waters.
Little toe.
If they don't want to stick their whole foot in there, stick a little toe, but make sure you know what your objectives are. You know, somebody sent in a question during our Frantelligence webinar, and he said, in general, is there a sequential approach to take when developing and implementing a plan, a somewhat simple 1-2-3 of best practices that maximizes efficiency and effectiveness? Wow.
Mm.
That's a mouthful. I do say it's as simple as 1, 2, and 3, Joel. 1, determine your specific goals and objectives. 2, focus all your marketing efforts on that. And 3, know what the hell is going on at all times.
That's right.
It can't be simpler than that, right?
I agree, but, you know, I like what you said about, you know, kind of dipping your toe in the water slowly. But you know what? You and I saw that happen on Twitter right after the IFA convention earlier this year.
Well, wait a second, Joel, I got to interrupt you. I know I have a habit of talking over to you, but this time I have to. Let me reiterate. I said before you stick your toe in. That doesn't mean I said to start slowly. It means before you stick any part of your body into the water to move forward, make sure you have a plan of action. You know, if you're in Atlanta and you see that water flowing across the road and you decide to step in it, you better know where you're going, what you're going to do if you get swifted off downstream, okay? And you better look along the way and say, what can I grab hold of? I'm not saying do it slow. I'm saying do it carefully, and I'm saying make sure you have a plan before you do it.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard you say, you know, put your toe in the water, you know, slowly.
No, I said before you do. But I know, I know what you were going to say. You were going to say in February after the IFA, a lot of people are getting on there, right?
Yeah, about 1,000, maybe about 500 people from the franchise industry opened Twitter accounts, and it lasted about 2-3 weeks.
Hey, but at least we knew what they were having for breakfast. That's what they say. I'm on the Twitter, kid.
Yeah.
Had waffles for breakfast.
I know, and I'm not making fun of them. It's anybody that is new to this, what do I do on Twitter? What is Twitter? What is social media stuff that, you know, we all experienced less than 2 years ago, you know, in our case. So you do have to, I don't know. I was talking with a nonprofit I'm a board member on, and they wanted to have me teach them a little about social media and if their nonprofit should be up there. And I did say in their case, because they're a little fearful, I said, you know what, let's start kind of slow. I'll be happy to set up a Facebook fan page for you. I can put a corporate site on LinkedIn. I can set up a Twitter account. But you folks have to have one or two people in the office that can spend an hour a day or so, you know, working it. So to me, that's starting slow. I don't know if you agree or not.
Oh, I agree. And I think it's interesting that you were talking with another nonprofit.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of cool.
Because the first nonprofit you were speaking to was me.
No, wait a second. You mean the multiple wives don't have any money?
No, they don't. They don't. Hey, let's talk about the old and the new. Okay? Real quick, you remember, Joel, how it used to be in franchise sales.
You do
see that, you know, they had, trade shows, elaborate trade shows and exhibits, and in order to get there, and you had to pay the fee, you had a lot of travel and entertainment, you had a little bit of wining and dining, you had that whole thing. Then, of course, there were, you know, regional seminars going on, and then you followed it up, or you handed out there with four-color brochures.
Don't say that word. You said the B word.
Brochures?
You said that word. I can't believe you said that.
Why is that?
Because I don't know why anyone even has them anymore.
Ah, well, I agree there. And then, of course, you know, we all got focused around special edition publications. You know, some publication had, you know, National Franchise Month and, you know, well, we got a special section on this, you know, so you get a quarter of a page ad here and blah, and all of that. And it was very expensive on top of the fact that franchisors were looking at it and saying, do I need to spend a lot of money in-house on franchise salespeople, you know, just to get franchise, you know, leads in the door and to make the sale? So we know about the marketing evolution, or as I like to put it, the marketing revolution into franchise portals and brokers and franchise consultants. And we know they took off because franchisors said, well, you know, if we could pay for leads after we get them, and if we could pay for franchise sales after they're made, somebody else can spend the money out there, and we could reduce our staff and go on our merry way. And I think it was a revolution against our franchise salespeople, and just threw the ball into somebody else's court that was willing to do some of the work on the front end without getting paid.
Yeah, they just took a shot, man. They just cut their expenses.
Well, when you look at it, you look at what's going on today, and after a couple of these Frantelligence webinar series segments, I got an opportunity to talk with a bunch of franchise professionals, and I'm finding out that, you know, things are kind of changing a little bit. I think they're actually getting a little bit more proactive than reactive. And I think they're kind of looking at some alternatives, and maybe not a complete separation from the way or deviation from the way it used to be, but maybe kind of an integration of things. And we outlined, like, you know, one for one on a list, like trade show exhibits on one side, you know, can easily be countered online with obviously websites and blog sites. And I understand that, you know, there's even, you know, virtual trade shows coming up real quick on the horizon. Then, of course,
yeah,
you have regional seminars that we know were expensive to put on that could easily be replicated with or replaced with webinars and podcasts at no cost, right?
However, do you think there's going to come a time when all the communicating that we're doing now, when my daughter Grace, when I asked her if she's talked to any friends that if they're going to be coming over for the weekend to watch some movies, and she says, yeah, I talked to two of them, and I say, what did they say? And she goes to her cell phone and looks, because it was a text. They're not talking. They're calling and talking. You know, they're texting and they're calling and talking. So you know, does there come a time, a point in time where it's like, you know what, maybe we have to go back to the old ways?
Because I think there needs to be a balance. And I think the big word here is integration. It's integrating that new technology with the old technology. It's taking the new way of communicating and integrating it with the old way of communicating and coming up with a balance that's more effective than doing it one way or the other. I think like anything else, anything that's to an extreme usually isn't good.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff because of technology, but for me, I mean, my attention span is below average at best, and for me to actually think that I could sit for 1 hour on a virtual anything is really a stretch. It has to do with my personality and just kind of the way I'm wired, but, you know, I could hang out for 2 hours at an in-person kind of trade show.
Well, I'm not saying that people couldn't, but, you know, in today's day and age when they're, you know, possibly holding on to two jobs or you have a dual-income family and, you know, there has to be that balance, you know this, of taking the dog to the vet and picking up your daughter from school and stuff like that, you might not have the time to allocate to next Thursday afternoon between 2 and 4 o'clock at the Ramada Inn is a seminar about. But if you knew the webinar was at that time, you know, you might be able to fit some of it in, or at the very least, you might be able to download the podcast and listen to it at your leisure in segments later on, even if it's 20 minutes a day.
Do people actually do that, though? Do they actually sit down at their leisure? I mean, do we have people listening to our podcast over the weekend?
Yeah, we've had a couple of weekends where we've had several thousand people listen to the podcast over the weekend.
Really?
Yes. So, you know, yes, the answer is definitely yes, people do it, and they have the opportunity to fast forward through it. They have the opportunity to review it again. Take Deb Evans. Deb, how are you? CEO of Computer Explorers. How are you, Deb? You know, Deb tells me that she has it on her computer on the island in her kitchen playing as she's cooking dinner. Instead of looking over her shoulder at the TV, she's listening to me talk and you pound away on the keyboard.
I got you. I know.
Right. People could do it at their own leisure.
You know, I should tell you, I got this BlackBerry going on 3 months now. I mean, I love it. It's something that I wish I would have had a year ago. It's really helping me. But you know what? When I'm sitting there in my car waiting for something, not driving, but like sitting, you know, waiting for my daughter to come back out of this or.
Dude, you better not be driving.
No, I don't. No, I really don't. I wouldn't. But you know, sometimes I go to pick up my daughter 10 minutes early at school, and I'm walking around the schoolyard. And I'm looking at my BlackBerry. I'm reading my emails. I'm going online, checking the radar, seeing if there's any storms coming. You know what? So it's 24/7, more than 24/7 was before the BlackBerry stuff came out.
You're using it to be more effective.
Yes, but okay. You went out of town over the weekend, and you said that you know you wanted to disconnect.
That was my choice.
My choice. How many days was it that you did not check an email or go on even a hotel internet connection to go online to check something? How many days in a row or hours?
Well, my intent was 3 days in a row, and I didn't bring a laptop and I didn't bring a phone, but I did use the computer in the lobby to check my actually, I didn't check email, but I did check my Twitter and Facebook accounts.
Okay. And how long until you went onto that computer in the lobby? How long were you out of town, away from your house, before you logged on?
24 hours.
Okay, so you were 24 hours without being connected.
Right.
That's awesome.
I'll tell you, I was shaking.
I'm telling you. I mean, I'm not laughing. you know, 2 weekends ago, I said, you know what, I got to take a break, man. I got to take a day away from the computer. My neck hurts. No,
I know.
I'm looking at the thing. But you know what? I lasted like 10 hours.
I was literally shaking like, I need to know what's going on. Somebody needs me. I need to find out, you know, how this went, how that went. But again, you know, going back to the balance, I think that's the key, is not take things to the extreme of doing the balance. I mean, and if you look at the time that you are waiting, what would you have done in the past? I mean, you know, this might just bring up your level of efficiency a little bit.
I don't know. It's frustrating. I mean, I really enjoy all the online stuff that I'm doing and all the things I'm picking up and all the people I'm getting to meet. But it's definitely really intense. And I'm wondering if 2 or 3 years from now we're all going to be doing this still, or if something's going to happen and we're going to be forced to break away. A friend of mine, Jim Kukral, he's an internet online marketer. Not multi-level marketing crap, but like real online marketing. You go to Jim Kukral, JimKukral.com. Really smart guy. He lives here in Cleveland. He's helped me a lot. And he just put out a tweet saying, what happened? What would happen if Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn all went out at the same time? You know? And it's like, wow. Because yesterday, I don't know if you were on Twitter or not, there was a Twitter virus going around.
Yes,
so I stayed, and someone got me, and thank goodness I caught it in time, but not someone, an automated bot, obviously, but the point was, you know, what it was like, I wasn't online for like 2 hours, and I didn't want to be, because, you know, this crap was flying around, and I didn't want to be anywhere near Twitter, anywhere near anything. I just shut everything down, you know, and it was okay. But gosh, what if all the major social networks, the major internet, you know, portals and stuff went down? Man, you know, everything would grind to a standstill.
I mean, maybe about a month and a half ago, Gmail went down. It forced Twitter into overload because there were so many people tweeting on there, you know, what happened to Gmail?
Right, right.
It would be pandemonium. I mean, without a doubt. You know, there's a couple of new books out there that are real good on social media. Socialnomics by Eric Qualman, that's Qualman, and it's how social media transforms the way we live and do business. And then Chris Brogan and Julian Smith wrote the book, Trust Agents, Using the Web to Build Influence, Improve Reputation, and Earn Trust. I think these are two very valuable books and very great books to read and refer to, and I think they answer some of those questions of, you know, what if and achieving that balance. You know, and getting back to what you were saying about, you know, going back and forth to the phone, you know, I talked to so-and-so, well, it was really a text, et cetera. One thing that kills me, and I see this all too often in restaurants, is two people, could be husband and wife, boyfriend and girlfriend, mom and dad, or whatever, mother and daughter, or whatever, and one person is talking while the other person is looking down and their thumbs are going a mile a minute. That's where I draw the line. That's a little ridiculous. That's a little bit obsessive. Stick the thing in your purse. Stick your thing in your pocket. At least enjoy the time you have one-on-one with somebody else. There is a certain protocol. There are certain manners. There are certain courteous ways of using social media and technology, and know that there's a time and a place to do so.
You know what that could lead to, Paul?
What's that?
Having multiple wives.
That would do it. I'd be getting all over the place.
Oh, man. Well, think about it. If you ignore your original wife, she might just say goodbye, and then you'll be out and about. You know, you mentioned that book by Chris Brogan, Trust Agents. The gentleman I just plugged, Jim Kukral, he just did a video review over at JimKukral.com of that book.
We'll take a look at that. You know, a lot of people don't realize
why
they think
that
things were before.
Why was that so funny? Why were you laughing?
Who?
You.
Me?
Yeah, why were you laughing when I said I'm going to might as well plug Jim Kukral again? You just reviewed that book. Why are you laughing?
I didn't laugh. I was just talking about being able to give multiple wives each other's phone number and let them text amongst each other, and then I wouldn't have to worry about using social media to communicate. They would be communicating with each other.
You started this, you know. I was talking about multiple unit franchise ownership, and you brought up multiple wives. I don't know what your deal – oh, now I know what your deal was. You were in San Antonio for the weekend with your wife.
I had a we had a lovely time, and I truly believe that, and I truly feel that. Hey, we've been married 32 years. Recently, we were dating 35 years ago.
I'm sorry.
No divorce.
So sorry.
No nothing.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
What is the saint's? I mean, what's her first name?
Laureen. Laureen.
Oh, yeah. I'm a friend of hers on Facebook. Her and I have had a couple of...
You don't even know who your friends are on Facebook.
Well, you know, okay, whatever.
All right, we've had enough.
I know a friend of hers.
Hey, Joel, there's a lot of people out there that take for granted what was going on before and what's going on now. I saw a cute little cartoon the other day, son looking up at his dad and says, hey, Dad, how did everyone email each other before the Internet was around? You know, my wife worked, going back to my wife, she's an assistant nurse in the school clinic, junior high school. And last year, she came home, she was laughing, and she said, well, of course, you know how schools are. They are not the best at keeping up with technology, and they have a lot of antiquated equipment there. And one of the kids had to call their mom at home or at work. And she called them at work, and she handed the phone back to my wife. She said, there's something wrong with the phone. And my wife listened to it and said, oh, that's a busy signal. And the kid looked at her with complete honesty and said, what's a busy signal?
Oh, come on.
Honestly. Because how many people have call waiting, call forwarding, call everything else? I mean, I bet there are people out there that don't know what a dial tone is. If they've only used cell phones, they would not know what a dial tone is.
Dude, we were telling my daughter last night about phones that you actually had to dial, like with a rotary.
Yeah, when you dial it and it goes, dial it and it goes. Hey, I'll tell you a story about
she
that.
She looked at us cross-eyed.
Well, my mom and dad, living in New York, have such an old, antiquated house, it's a beautiful house and a beautiful home. But the phones, I went up there a couple of years ago, and I figured, you know what, I'm going to have a hard time getting wireless. So I picked up something so I can at least go on, you know, AOL and dial-up.
Right.
Wasn't any place plugging in the house because everything was hardwired to the wall. There was no little clip-away jacks. And they still have several phones that are rotary. And the funny thing was, not too long ago, my mom has one of these princess phones that was a big thing back in the 60s. You know, it lit up on the side of the bed. And it dropped and it cracked. And she was trying to find a way to repair it. And I went online, and do you know one of those phones recently sold on eBay for $2,400? And
come on.
Yes, and one of the typical traditional desk phones, but not black, in color. My parents have a red one that looks like the damn bat phone, sold for $1,100 on eBay. A typical plain Jane dial phone.
Jeez.
Everybody's going to be going to their parents' house this weekend and trying to rip off their phones. Hey, let's talk a little bit about social media A to Z. Just like Julie Andrews sung, you know, let's start at the very beginning. All right, I'm not going to do that to you and start singing here. Hi.
Not really.
A in social media is ask. Ask your social customers what they want from you. They'll tell you, just don't be afraid to hear the answer. I think that's a big thing in social media today. People are too worried about what might be going on, what might be said in the conversation. You know what? It's going on anyway, right, Joel?
It is happening, and you better jump in.
All right, Joel, you'll love B. What do you think B is?
Hold on, Joel.
You're famous for this. Blog.
Blog? Oh, yes. Blog. Yes, right. Yes.
You know that only 16%, only 16% of the 2008 Fortune 500 have public-facing corporate blogs with a post in the last 12 months.
When was this written?
What was that?
When was this one written, what you're reading? Three months ago,
June 2009.
Wow.
That was according to the University of Massachusetts.
Oh, that's why. Okay, go ahead.
Control, C for control. You've already lost much of it. You just don't know it. You got to give it up with social media. You can't control everything. My wife tells me I'm a control freak, yet I like being on social media, so go figure. D.
Interesting. Well, D, yeah.
D, disposable applications.
Hmm.
That's how they describe some of the newest social applications. Today's fad, maybe tomorrow's also ran. The social tool hardly matters. The social strategy is everything.
That is true. Wait, hold on one second, okay? Hold on there, Paul. Is he on A yet? Is he on Z? Someone in the other room wants to know if you're at Z yet.
I'm not at Z yet. Is he asleep?
Hey, wake up. All right. Hey,
all right, E.
It's Paul Segretto. You don't know what you're messing with. Okay, we're done. Go ahead.
E, Enterprise 2.0, what's on the consumer web is behind the firewall, too. There are collaborative applications that allow your employees to get social. I think that's getting a little too technical. So let's go to F, Facebook. If 200 to 300 million people are there, I think you have to be as well.
I agree.
You agree. G for ground rules, lay them, live by them, but also be flexible enough to adapt them if you need to. That's pretty interesting.
Okay.
H, hype. Oprah's first words on Twitter. Hi, Twitter. Anticlimactic, maybe, but the buzz surrounding Twitter has yet to wane. This social stuff is no snuggie, Joel. I bet you have a
snuggie.
You have a snuggie, right? One of those blankets with arms.
I almost bought one for my daughter. It's like $12.99. I was like, you know what? I don't know. They package it so you really can't feel how thick it is. Like skeptical people like me, I see the commercial and I'm thinking to myself, it's got to be like microfine, cheap stuff. But
they are ready to go gangbusters because they finally, and maybe it's because they finally worked out the licensing rights, but I understand they worked out the licensing rights with the NCAA and the NFL. And so you're going to see a lot of logos on these things and a bunch of drunk people in the stands wearing them. So that should be pretty interesting. Great way to hide your six-pack of beer as you're walking into the stadium, right?
Do you have one?
Do I have one? No, I don't have a Snuggie. My wife has a Snuggie, and it's called one of my old sweatshirts that is absolutely big on her.
Okay.
What are you going to do? Interact. Don't expect the conversation just to come to you. You need to give a little before you get. That's often forgotten. And then, of course, like we discussed, you know, don't just tip your toe in the water. Just do it. J for just do it. Key influencers. Joe LaBava is a key influencer with the Franchise King blog.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate
Now hear this. 80% of respondents said senior leadership listens to feedback from social media channels. But they might not be on it, but they are listening.
They're listening.
Mentor up. Your Generation Y employees are updating their Facebook statuses on their iPhones at this very moment. Use the youngins to your advantage. And for new media. That's what the old media used to call the web and everything online. Open up, and social media transparency matters most. You know, and this is something we've talked about. P for pick your spots. You can't be everywhere. Marketing maven Seth Godin says being in too many channels dilutes his brand. So he's staying out of many of them. And I have
I'm glad he is. I'm glad he is.
What?
I'm glad he is.
Yeah. And he is out of a lot of them, and I have seen him less and less on Twitter.
Yeah.
But I see him a lot on Facebook. Quality. Customer, Q for quality. Customers remember if you handle this social contract poorly. Focus on a solid strategy. And certainly quality before quantity. Ratings and reviews for R. User-generated content isn't just all the rage. It also increases sales. And this is something, Joel, you and I talked about, that franchise organizations should embrace social media to also generate foot traffic to the franchise locations, which ultimately will lead to more business, lead to more revenue, lead to more better royalty stream, and more importantly, will help validate the concept.
Ah.
S for Second Life. It's the most famous of the virtual worlds. Remember we talked out there about virtual trade shows being on the horizon. Second Life is the most famous of the virtual worlds right now, and it has, it's getting a lot of buzz right now and has millions of active social customers, and most people aren't even aware of it yet.
Hmm.
What do you think T is?
T, technology.
No, it's got to be Twitter. Come on.
Come on.
It accounts for millions right now. It's jumped tremendously. And all media right now, one way, shape, action, or form, is working its way through Twitter. So your message matters there.
What do you think? You're Alex Trebek because you have the answer in front of you?
I have the answer. I'm also like Bernack. I'm holding the envelope up to my head right now like Karnak.
Okay.
All right, the user interface. Usability not only matters in social media, it matters more. If people can't interact easily with your company in a channel, you may as well not bother. Voice of the customer. It's time to eavesdrop on what the customer is saying.
Hmm.
Oh, come on. The federal government used to do that to a lot of my Italian relatives. Well, we'll talk about that on a different venture.
Yeah.
W for widgets. They make social media tools easy and adaptable. And then there's the X factor.
The what?
There's so much about social media that we don't yet know. The landscape's developing faster than you think. That's the X factor?
Really? Okay, no, whatever.
They say. This is in Customer Relation Management Magazine. Yesterday's news, Joel, that's what you'll be if you don't keep up with social media. And Z, and Grace will be happy to hear this. Grace, if you could hear this. Zero, the amount of time you have left to sit on the social media guidelines.
Yeah, you're right.
And now time for the jaywalking stars. Nope. You see Pee Wee Herman is back out there?
I heard, and I don't want to see him. That guy must be looking pretty nasty by now.
Actually, looks like he did before.
Really?
I tell you, we need to maybe interject a little alcohol with this show in the future. But anyway, Joel, we are running out of time as we've been running out of information and running our mouths off.
Okay.
So, we will have to say adieu, goodbye, adios, farewell, until next week. And I hope you have a good, safe week. enjoy your family, enjoy Winston, enjoy Grace, and I'll tell my wife you had nothing but nice things to say about her.
Thank you, and shalom.
Shalom. Goodbye, everybody. Another edition of the Franchise Essentials is out.
Over.